Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now. But something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Hey, Driven Women, welcome back. I am very excited today. I'm excited to give you this solo episode on the topic of change, especially because I'm recording this on Wednesday, January the 20th, the change of administration here in the U.S., the day that we welcome the Biden-Harris administration and see what the next 4 years are going to be like. I'm not going to comment on this. It's not a political show, but other than to say I'm very excited to have our first Black female vice president, and I can't wait to see what this administration is going to do. As a matter of fact, on the first day, they're already making some much needed changes. But let me talk to you about my personal thoughts on change. And first, a podcast review from Post Not Working. I love that she directs it to me personally and says, "So many gems and inspiration. Diane, I totally listen to your podcast and love it." And she gives a bunch of extra O's, like, "Love it." "You are such a pleasure to listen to and have such an amazing message. So relatable and practical. I'm so glad you started this podcast. Many women will benefit. I am sure of it. So keep it coming. And P.S., I could listen to your voice all day." Wow. That's great. I used to hate my voice, by the way. So here we go. My thoughts on change. Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's heard it said that people hate change and will actually do almost anything in order to avoid it. People stay in miserable jobs for years. They refuse to leave a suffocating marriage. They choose to experience lives that feel like a slow death in order to avoid the unsettling reality of changing it up. Why do we do that? And we aren't even just talking about the big stuff like marriages and careers either. Many women keep wearing their hair, their makeup, their clothing style long past the point where it's flattering and age appropriate, simply because they hate change. Now, apparently this is the norm with humans. It's hardwired into our DNA. It's an outdated survival strategy based on the fact that the brain doesn't care if you're happy as long as you're still alive. I've talked about this before, if it sounds familiar. Well, I like change, okay? I really do. In fact, when things stay the same for too long according to me, that is, I have to shake things up. Now, I didn't think this was a problem until I noticed how rare it is. And because other more neurotypical humans kept pointing it out and questioning me, like, "Why can't you be satisfied?" they asked. "Can't you just leave well enough alone?" Or, "I thought you liked fill in the blank." "Oh, well, it's good enough for the rest of us. So what's so special about you?" Now, with most of these questions, I assumed they were just curious or maybe confused. But with that last one, it kind of felt like a personal attack, that my need for change was perceived as an insult to those who liked things to stay the same. Now, I had a long-term client who would tell me about her vacations each year, but actually she only needed to tell me once because she went to the same places with the same people on the same weeks of the year, year after year. I bet she ate at the same restaurants and probably ordered the same meals. She probably packed the same clothes in the same suitcases as well. And it felt completely natural, normal, and wonderful to her. But as for me, I kind of had to stifle the urge to blurt out, "Don't you have the least bit of curiosity about going somewhere else?" But I didn't. I have learned to inhibit some of my verbal impulsiveness. First of all, I'm a professional, and I respect other people's right to be who they are and to like what they like, just as much as I want them to respect mine. But as much as I may seem like an anomaly to others, they, meaning most people, seem like an anomaly to me. I kind of don't get it. I have a lifelong friend, Kathy. It's the same with her. Like, I love her to death, meaning I will love her until one of us dies and maybe beyond. I don't actually know how that works, but she is so change averse, it defies description. I will, however, attempt to describe it. So Kathy and I met in the 1980s, and she initially hated me at first sight. It's a long and probably not very interesting story, or I would totally share it with you, but we eventually became friends. And for Christmas the first year, I gave her a copy of Jane Fonda's new workout on VHS cassette. Now, for those of you that are too young to have the slightest idea what a VHS cassette is, you can Google it. But Kathy loved that frickin' workout. She started doing it 5 times a week, which I already thought was a bit repetitive and boring, but why not do something else at least a couple times a week just for the sake of variety and change, no matter how much you love the workout? But nope, Jane Fonda's new workout was right for her, and that's what she did, 5 times a week like clockwork. Now, that's not even the amazing part. I mean, we all go through phases where we get something new and we totally obsess about it for a while. We get a new lipstick and we wear it every day for a month, or we get a new pair of shoes and we wear them all the time, or we get a new CD or digital download and we listen to it repetitively until we never want to hear it again. I've always been that way. But what Kathy did with that VHS cassette seemed extreme to me, because I found out recently that she still does that Jane Fonda's new workout on VHS cassette 5 days a week. Oh my God. I'm saying she has been doing it all these years. I am talking 35 years, folks. I mean, who even owns a VHS player anymore? Unless their grandmother recently passed away and they found it in the attic. Now, I love my friend, and I'm really not intending to gossip, but she has also lived in the same house for almost 35 years, and she wants to be cremated and scattered among her backyard. I secretly kind of envy her ability to be so content with things that don't change, but I just can't imagine it personally. As for me, I've changed lots of things over time. I've been married 3 times. Hey, I'm not necessarily proud of that, but it's the truth. I have changed jobs multiple times and changed careers several times as well. I change my hairstyle a little bit every time I go for a cut. I never travel to the same place twice. My interests, my hobbies, my friendships evolve. When I run into someone I haven't seen for a while, they want to know how am I, and I want to know what's new. I crave it, change. It keeps life interesting to me, and it keeps me growing. Now, that is absolutely necessary for me to feel alive and engaged. If I don't keep changing, I stagnate, and that feels completely stifling to me. You know, it can be hard to be in relationships with people when you always need change and they don't. It helps if you can find other people that are similar to you to become friends with. You won't have so much explaining to do, and you won't have to worry about them being butthurt if you change your mind, change your plans, or even change your address. My husband and I relocated almost 2 years ago from Los Angeles to Portland. We had been visiting Oregon for a number of years and had really come to love it. So when he had the opportunity to work from home, and I already was, we made the decision to move to Portland. It meant going on a whirlwind tour of over 20 homes in a single day. And 4 weeks after we found the place we wanted, we had packed everything ourselves, closed escrow, and moved. There was barely enough time for all the goodbye dinners we wanted to have. And many people commented how courageous it was, how adventurous it was for us to move, especially the way we did it. After all, I was born in Los Angeles, and even though I have lived in a number of different areas, LA had always been home. My husband had moved to Los Angeles from a small village in southern Germany, but had been there for 25 years. So he had relocated once, but I'd always been in LA. We didn't know anyone in Portland. And now that we've been here for almost 2 years, we're just starting to cultivate some friendships because of the whole COVID pandemic. So is it courageous to start over when you are someone who craves change? Or is it just honoring your natural tendencies to want to experience something new? I mean, I'm down for being thought of as courageous and adventuresome. That's okay, I'll own that. But when you need change as much as I do, I'm not sure it really is courageous. I think it's just being who I am. I mean, I don't feel like a hero. I just know who I am and how I need to live. And I also know that I no longer need to explain or apologize. I just do it.
Hey, it's Diane. Can I be honest with you? At the beginning of each new year, I always told myself, this is the year I'm going to get my habits dialed in. This is the year I'm going to be crystal clear about my goals and I'm going to crush them. This is the year I'm going to get my shit together on every level and I'm going to do it all by myself. Been there, done that, got a whole stack of t-shirts. But you know, it wasn't until I started working with my own coach that I realized what a difference it makes to have guidance, support, and accountability from someone who's not only like-minded, but like-brained. Yeah, I'm talking about another driven woman, entrepreneur, who also has ADHD and has got it going on. I have two openings in my signature one-on-one 12-week coaching program, and one of them might have your name on it. There's a link to a free consult with me in the show notes if you think this might be the year that you really get serious and go all in on an ADHD-friendly business and life. While you're thinking about that, have a listen to what one of my client's success stories has to say about the difference it made to work with me.
It's funny because at first I said I would never own my own practice. And now I own my own practice. And I would say, I'm never going to take it any more than just treating patients. Now I'm thinking about how can I start my own
institute. You know,
yeah, exactly. Even like training other therapists, having a certification with my name that I am, you know, I haven't thought of the name yet, but I'm certified in this technique or whatever the case may be. And really just helping other therapists help their patients the way I help mine.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.